This podcast is brought to you by Easton. There are those who play and those who watch, those who cheer and those who are cheered, those who know that every hit has a bat, every catch has a glove, and every game a winner. At Easton, our passion is delivering a complete system of unparalleled technology and advanced products designed to give baseball players an elite edge. Easton Baseball, built to win. Our apologies. The following podcast is not up to the standards of audio quality that we like to give you on our Baseball America podcast. However, the content was so good that we wanted to let you hear it anyway, and hopefully you can bear with a little bit of the squawking that goes with it. Thanks again for listening to the Baseball America podcast, and here is the first half of our two-part series on the NCAA regional preview.
Welcome once again, everyone, to a Baseball America podcast. Along with Aaron Fitt, I am John Manuel. When you hear the two of us, you know we're going to talk college baseball. We thank you for the download. We apologize that we're taking a little break here this month, how busy things are, all the information we have, and trying to get it out. We've been a little negligent on the podcast at baseballamerica.com email, but keep sending them in to us, and we will read them when we have chance and we have time on these podcasts. Today is part one of our regional extravaganza podcast. We hope you enjoy it as much as we do. Aaron, let's get fired up, as they say in Welcome to the Terror Dome. That's how that starts. I wish we could just play that in the background, but we have to pay the Shockley brothers and Chuck D some money, so we won't do that.
John, are you going to make it through this podcast? Your voice is sounding a little bit rough right now.
I need some Sarah Hyatt special warm tea. Either that or some of the special tea that, you know, Kurt Cobain used to get, you know. So,
Any royal tea?
Plus two. That's a great song. I wish we could have that streaming in the background. But anyway, let's not steal the life inside of this podcast by having tangents. Let's go on to the very first upper right-hand corner of the bracket, where if you look at your bracket, we're going to the right side of the bracket. From North Cackalack, North Carolina, down to Arizona State. Let's start with the breakdowns with the one closest to home, the Cary Regional, the John Manuel Invitational Regional, because I live in Cary. North Carolina, your one seed. UNC Wilmington, your two. Elon, the three. Mount St. Mary's, the surprise four, Aaron. This is North Carolina's regional to lose. The Tar Heels should be heavily favored in this regional. That's not to say that Wilmington and Elon aren't dangerous. I don't think Mount St. Mary's has a chance in hell of winning a regional. Who's more dangerous to North Carolina, UNC Wilmington or Elon?
You know, that's a great question. I think they're both dangerous for different reasons. Elon in more for its speed. I think they're going to challenge North Carolina defensively and try to put pressure on the Tar Heels. With the Tar Heels, I think, are a little bit suspect, John. Just a little bit suspect defensively up the middle.
Yeah, it's just not their strength, that's for sure.
You're right. That's a better way to put it. It's not their strength. Worrying a little bit about Garrett Gore, and there are certain things. I think North Carolina is a good defensive team. I don't think they're a great defensive team.
Correct.
I think Elon maybe could give them some trouble there. I don't think it'll be enough to overcome it. I mean, Tim Fedorovich is a really good arm. I think he could probably keep the running game in check. Wilmington, of course, completely different kind of team. They've got more power bats on that team with guys like Carver and Daniel Hargrave. And offensively, I just don't think UNC Wilmington is well suited for spacious USA national training complex.
That's a great point. I hadn't thought about that. The USA baseball complex really does play big. It's one of the least offensive ballparks in the ACC, and UNC Wilmington really is a power-oriented team. Elon, I did not realize the extent of their kind of jackrabbit offensive attack. It's a team with a .430 on base and 152 stolen bases. Now, some of that offense is inflated because the Southern Conference was ridiculous. It was just off the charts offense this year.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry to interrupt, John. They really stood out, I think, because that conference was so offensive and it's so power-oriented with these huge power numbers coming from College of Charleston and Georgia Southern. And,
right.
And then you got Elon, the team that wins the league, doesn't win it without much power. I mean, it's guys like Chris Dove, just getting on base and disrupting things with speed. I mean, that's what makes Elon good.
And Elon's, a younger team than they were last year. It's almost like a more energetic team. I think we thought they'd be better last year than we thought they'd be good this year. But it's a mark of a good program, I think, that Coach Kennedy's got over there. They're good every year now. They're a steady program. Same thing with UNC Wilmington. To me, Mark Scapp, they got their opportunity when East Carolina and Richmond left the CAA. There was a void in the CAA. And UNC Wilmington has really ascended to the top of that. And top of that league, the most consistent 40-game winning program in that league. I was happy for the league that they got two bids. I thought that the league was maybe a little bit better than it showed, than the RPI reflected. All those Virginia teams play each other, and that seems like to keep their RPI down. I think North Carolina wins this regional. I think Elon is probably the second-best team. But we'll really find out Friday night's matchup, Brad Holt, Steve Hensley, right. UNC Wilmington versus Elon. Winner of that pitcher's duel, the best pitching matchup really in that regional,
right.
is going to be set up against North Carolina and Alex White on Saturday.
That's the problem, John, is that North Carolina is going to probably throw out Adam Warren against Mount St. Mary's, and an experienced college pitcher like Adam Warren, I think, is going to carve up Mount St. Mary's. I'm not worried about that at all.
Right.
Mount St. Mary's, I mean, they've got a little bit of pop in that lineup, but their best hitter, Josh Vidic, is a guy who can be very easily exploited. If you know how to pitch him, I mean, he strikes out a lot. I think Mount St. Mary's is probably going to get blown out in that first game. And the problem, though, for UNC Wilmington and Elon is that they both have one big gun on their pitching staff, and they're going to have to use it against each other.
Right.
And they're going to have to face the ACC Pitcher of the Year,
Alex White.
And it's North Carolina should, in my opinion, should breeze through this region.
That's a tough matchup for both of them. Let's move on to the Conway Regional. Coastal Carolina, the 1 seed, East Carolina, the 2, Alabama, the 3, Columbia, out of the Ivy League, the 4. You've got basically two league champions and then two at-large teams. I think Coastal Carolina, Aaron, is the team that's been ranked the most, the team we've both seen, a team that has depth everywhere. My Omaha sleeper in the preseason, I almost forgot about that. I actually had forgotten about that. They earn a 1 seed, they're a host. Was that deserved? You feel like they deserved to be a 1 seed and a host?
Yeah. I thought that they did deserve it. The only reason I thought they might not get it is because of the questions about their ballpark, but they've answered that, bringing in auxiliary bleachers to Charles Watson Stadium over there, and the committee was satisfied. But I think Coastal is a very good team, and they've done everything they needed to do. They've scheduled well. They play a lot of high RPI games, especially in the midweek. They played pretty well against the ACC this year.
Right.
They did beat North Carolina head-to-head in a midweek game. They beat Virginia in a midweek game. Obviously, they did very well against Maryland and Virginia Tech early on. So I think Coastal did deserve the 1 seed and the host. And you know what? I think this is the year Coastal breaks through and wins that regional because I think East Carolina is dangerous. And I thought at the beginning of the year that East Carolina was a major sleeper. And I still think that East Carolina could win this regional. I think these two clubs are actually very similar offensively. I think they're both very good offensive clubs with power, with speed, good fundamental teams. I think they're both can beat you a lot of different ways offensively. And I think they're actually pretty similar on the mound as well. I like Coastal's bullpen a little bit better. I think that's maybe the X factor along with being at home.
Seems like Coastal's a little bit more experienced on the mound than East Carolina, even though Justin Brisson is a junior, for example. It's really his first full year as a pitcher. He's getting to the end of a season.
Seth Maness is a freshman.
Right.
He's been their
most consistent pitcher. Seth Maness has been outstanding from East Carolina.
TJ Hodes is the senior that they expected to be counting on. He's had his ups and downs this year. I just worry a little bit about East Carolina on the mound, and I think that, obviously, Bobby Gagg's status is the X factor here. We don't know if he's going to pitch for Coastal Carolina or not. But even if he doesn't, I like Coastal's arms. I mean, guys like Joey Hogg and Nick McCauley, they've got good arms.
Always
got
to check your gag status. That's fun to say. Gag status.
Yeah, you do.
But like you said, there's power and some versatility, some more depth at Coastal Carolina on the mound. I agree. Now, here's the other question. Alabama is Alabama. Mm-hmm. This is the SEC team here.
Yeah.
And, let's face it, Alabama's playing well.
They finished strong. They really have. And, early on, John, I mean, the first 2 minutes, I didn't think Alabama was anything close to a regional team.
No, me neither.
Going into the year, or the first half of the year, and they proved me wrong. They absolutely deserved to get into a regional. They stunned Georgia in Athens. They beat Georgia again in the SEC tournament. They've been playing well. And I think they've got four or five bats in that lineup that are dangerous. I don't think they're any better than what Coastal Carolina or East Carolina will throw at you.
Right.
In fact, I don't think they're as good as what Coastal Carolina and East Carolina will throw at you. But I think Alabama is short of those two clubs on the mound.
I agree. No, I agree. They've won 11 of their last 14, which is very impressive. They're doing most of that in the SEC and playing good teams, like you said, Georgia, Kentucky. They're a solid defensive club. They've got the kind of power they've had the last few years. I guess it's just really impressive to me. another sign for Jim Wells. You know, Jim Wells was our coach of the year in 1997, and their program has gone down from what it was in the late 90s to what it's been this decade. They did have the outstanding team in 06 that lost at home in the Super Regional to North Carolina. But, you know, after last year, he retires and he comes back after a couple days. A lot of times that doesn't work out very well. I think we're in ACC country. I remember Bobby Kremins taking the South Carolina job, then going back to Georgia Tech, and he was really never the same. He hasn't been the same at College of Charleston. He wasn't the same at Georgia Tech since that kind of little midlife crisis. And it seems like that's kind of, you know, what I expected to happen at Alabama. And, yeah, they're just a three seed, but they're playing well in the second half. And you know, I'm always intrigued by I'm always intrigued by Myers Quigley. I know he hasn't been that good this year. He was such a big deal out of high school.
Yeah.
Hyatt has been
in my opinion, their
you're
best
right.
pitcher this
no,
year.
No, Austin Hyatt's been very – he's consistent for them. He's a strike thrower. They don't have the quality, though, of arms that East Carolina or Coastal Carolina has. They don't have the depth of arms that those two teams have.
I would be very surprised, honestly, John. I'll be very surprised if Alabama wins this regional. I think very highly of Coastal and East Carolina. And I certainly give Alabama credit. I just don't think they're as talented as those other two teams. And you know, those other two teams are also very well coached. I mean,
Gilmore's
got to be a candidate for Coach of the Year once again. He was in the mix last year. I think he's in the mix again.
Gary Gilmore's a stud. He's a stud. That program is so consistent. And now it's gone to another level. And they've been consistent 45-win team every year.
Yeah.
That guy's a stud.
So who are you taking, John? I'm
taking Coastal. They're my Omaha sleeper.
I'm taking Coastal as well.
I'm taking Coastal. All right,
and I like ECU, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if ECU wins that regional, but I'm taking Coastal.
Good. It's out there. The next regional, I think we're both not going to go chalk. Nebraska 1, UC Irvine 2, Oral Roberts 3, Eastern Illinois 4. Aaron, I think this is our first regional where any one of three teams could really win it. I think your one seed Nebraska could win it. I think your two-seed Irvine could win. I think your three-seed Oral Roberts.
I think that's fair.
It would not shock me if Oral Roberts won this regional. That's a program that's won a regional before. I don't think there's any way that Rob Walton is looking past regionals and looking towards the Team USA roster. But this is obviously a really good coach. This is a tough regional. I think the one guy to really watch in all this for me is Nebraska is such a veteran club.
Mm-hmm.
In our opinion, I think I can speak for you, I think we think that Nebraska has significantly overachieved.
Yeah.
Is that over? Is that little run of luck over? I think Irvine's overachieved too, to be honest with you. But has Nebraska kind of peaked? Did they peak in late April? I think they did.
Yeah, they did. They did, and they've not been very good down the stretch. They did win that very exciting series against Texas A&M, but then the next weekend they go to Missouri and get swept.
I believe it's pronounced Missouri.
Excuse me, Missouri. not a very good performance in the Big 12 tournament. I think they went 1-2. I think Nebraska. Here's the thing: the biggest thing they've got going for them, besides their experience, they're at home.
You're right.
You know what? Nebraska at home is so dangerous.
Oh, that's a great point.
They're transformed into a collection of supermen, as one coach kind of told me this year. They're just a completely different team than they are on the road. They feed off the energy. They're very, very, very difficult to beat.
They're like Optimus Prime.
That said, John. You know, I've heard people compare Nebraska and UC Irvine this year because Nebraska is kind of plays a style similar to Irvine. They're very fundamentally sound. People always say that Nebraska doesn't beat itself; they don't make mistakes.
Right.
They make you beat them. But people who've seen Irvine as well say, well,
that's what Irvine does.
Irvine does it better.
Right.
I mean, Nebraska does it well. Irvine does it better. Nebraska is Irvine light.
To me, Nebraska is a counterpuncher. You make a mistake, they step into the breach. There's an error, they're going to score that run. They're an outstanding counterpuncher, and they do have those veterans who are kind of unflappable, especially at home. But Irvine is a more offensive club. They're more the aggressor. They're not a counterpuncher. They do play similar styles,
right. But
Irvine's Irvine is putting pressure on you, whereas Nebraska is more waiting for you to crack. Maybe that's just, you know.
No, I really like the way you put that.
And so that's the difference to me, and that's why I think that Irvine got a chance. And a lot of these guys on Irvine, clearly it's on the same team. They don't quite have the offense they had last year. They don't have the firepower they had last year.
They've still got Ollie Linton, the best player in all of baseball, I think, at any level.
you love that guy.
You know, I love Ollie Linton. I think he's one of the most fun players to watch in college baseball.
What's not to love?
He's a catalyst. He's very exciting offensively and defensively.
There's no better team up the middle defensively than Irvine. None. Orloff, Linton, what's the catcher's name? Is it Lowenstein?
Lowenstein.
No. mean, they are just so good defensively
up the middle. I don't know that I would quite take them over Miami defensively up the middle, but
you can have your Blake T. Cody.
I will.
That's a Baseball America argument.
I'll take Cody, and I'll take Brian Jackson and Jamal Weeks.
That's a Baseball America argument starter if there ever was one. Blake T. Cody. He's a flashpoint here in the office, although Matt Blood not here to weigh in on that one. Irvine's got the pitching in this regional, Aaron. I think that's what Irvine's other calling card is. Mm-hmm. But I got to be honest with you, I kind of like Oral Roberts. I like Jerry Sullivan. I like Brian Van Kirk. I like Ben Petrolli. I like the depth of their lineup. Oral Roberts lost 4 games in the Summit League this year. I think some people think that Oral Roberts maybe is not as good as they've been in the past. I actually think part of that was the rest of the Summit League was a little bit better. Southern Utah was better. Western Illinois was better. All that said, I think Oral Roberts is a threat to win this.
Are you taking Oral Roberts?
I think I'm going to go out on that limb. I think I'm going to take Oral Roberts to win this regional.
Good for you.
I think I've talked myself into Oral Roberts. Well, I'm going off the board.
I'm going to take the Anteaters. I think
Zod.
You know, I just think the way they play, they're just so clinically efficient in the pressure. I think they will out Nebraska. And if there's one guy who's not going to get rattled pitching in Lincoln, it's Scott Gorgon.
Yeah, you're right.
So, I mean, we'll see, you know, whether he pitches that first game or the second game. He probably will pitch the first game against Oral Roberts.
Small aside, but Scott Gorgon has draft helium.
Is that right?
He has got all kinds of draft helium. He's going to go higher than 183, where he was in our top 200. I knew that when we ranked him there, but he's got draft helium.
Good. So, you know, he deserves it. He's a terrific pitcher.
Just throw that out there in the mix for Scott Gorgon. Next regional, LSU the 1, Southern Miss the 2, UNO the 3, Texas Southern the 4. Aaron, LSU is fast becoming the story of this college baseball season. First of all, they're one of the sport's best brand names. This is LSU, one of the top dynasties in the game, really the dynasty in the game in the modern, in the common era right now. 5 titles since 1991. No Omaha trip since 2003, I believe. Maybe they were there in 04, but I think it was 03. And no title since 2000. Coaching change. But Paul Mainieri has got this team rolling like no one else in the country. I mean, to me, it's hard to commit. I know you like New Orleans. And I know that New Orleans is a solid club. I also know that Southern Miss has played some good teams and has beaten some good teams. I have a hard time thinking that LSU is not going to win this championship. To me, LSU is the overwhelming
that's the smart
favorite.
Pick. It's the easy pick. it might be the right pick, John. Certainly, they're the hottest team in the nation. And they're a good offensive team.
You like New Orleans. I know you like Johnny Giovitella.
I'm going to spill the beans. I do like New Orleans to win this regional.
You like them to win the regional. All right.
To win the regional, John, and here's why. Okay, New Orleans, first of all, is an experienced team that has played in a regional last year, beat Wichita State at Wichita State. They're not rattled. Wichita State's a tough place to play.
Oh, absolutely. It's an intimidating, just physically, it's an intimidating ballpark. And that's one thing that X Stadium actually has in common with Alex Box. They're both big, physically imposing ballparks that are intimidating just in terms of their stature to other college baseball teams. They're not just nice. They're not, well, obviously Alex Box is not nice. They're big.
Right.
They're big and they're loud.
But if there's one team, John, if there's one team in the entire country who I think is well-suited to perform well at Alex Box Stadium besides the Tigers, it's New Orleans because they're very familiar with LSU. They won 2 out of 3 games against LSU this year. The one team that gave LSU the most trouble during this long winning streak was New Orleans, which pushed LSU to 15 innings in a midweek game right before the SEC tournament.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, New Orleans has veteran guys on this team who were on this regional club last year. I mean, obviously, Johnny Giovitella is a great player at second base, and guys like Nick Schwanner and Joey Butler were there. I mean, they their entire weekend rotation, John, was their weekend rotation last year. I mean, Brian Cryer's gotten a lot better, gives them a real ace atop that rotation, went 12-1 this year for them. I mean, the other two guys will compete just as well as LSU's pitchers will compete. And you know, New Orleans has, I believe, 6 guys with double-digit home runs this year.
Wow.
They're an offensive club.
That's
an offensive ballpark.
Yep.
I do think LSU has a little bit better pitching overall, but I really like the way New Orleans matches up with them. I think the Privateers are going to shock everybody here and make a great case for Tom Walter for Coach of the Year.
I was about to say, I thought your answer was just going to be as simple as, I love Walter. They give you a bad Tommy Heinsohn.
I like it.
Do I get any Tommy points for that?
I give you 2 Tommy points.
All right. I thought that's where you were going. But I love that. You got me stoked for that regional now. I don't expect LSU to get to Omaha because they're going to lose some games. It's just inevitable. They're not going to win 30 in a row. It's not going to happen. But until they lose, I'm going to have a hard time picking them against them when they've won 20 straight games. Especially to me, Alex Box Stadium. But the last time they had a send-off for Skid Bertman, 2001, they lost to Tulane in the Super Regional, the highest-grossing Super Regional of all time. So LSU in send-offs has not always been a winner. So I like the way you laid out the UNO case. Let's go to one of the tougher regionals.
Sure. For you, is Southern Miss a factor in that regional?
I guess they should be. I know they've been banged up all year. I don't know as much about their club as I really should. I don't know enough about them to go out on that limb and pick them. I just know they've been injured, and I know they're also this is Southern Miss. They're always a team that grinds it out. They usually have a power arm that you don't know about that wasn't coming out of high school. They developed and they grind out at bats. It's a patient ball club.
That's it. And they play better than their talent. That said, I don't really like the way they match you up in this regional. And I would be surprised if they
won. Honestly, looking at it, the more I just don't see a great matchup for any of the Conference USA teams in this in any regional. And that brings us to the next regional. Rice is the host. Texas, the number 2 seed. St. John's, a 3. Sam Houston State, according to one source, the best 4 seed in the country. I don't know about that because I like UC Davis. But, Aaron, that's a tough regional. Rice did not get any benefits. They did get to stay in the top 8. I think losing their first 2 in the Conference USA tournament really hurt them and knocked them down a peg or 2 in the top 8 national seeds, and it gave them a tougher regional.
I really expected Texas Southern to be the team that played in the Houston regional as a 4 seed. It made a lot of sense. I mean, you're a national seed. You shouldn't, I don't think, be given a 4 seed as dangerous as Sam Houston State. And Texas Southern is probably might be the weakest team in the field. I mean, there's a number of their 5 teams in this field with sub-500 records, which I believe is the most since the field expanded to 64 teams.
Nice little nugget.
So there's going to be some teams here that might find themselves in a little bit over their heads.
If you want to compare 4 seeds, how about Miami got Bethune-Cookman, which has played UCLA and Southern Cal and has been to regionals every year.
Miami a couple of times.
I mean, I can't believe they're a 4, and they're supposed to be the 4. And Sam Houston, that's a 4. And you're comparing those 4 seeds or Fresno State, a preseason top 25, to like Mount St. Mary's or Eastern Michigan or Texas Southern? I mean, give me a break.
There's a lot of disparity there. And I kind of think that geography should have played a secondary role to seeding when it comes to dispersing those 4 seeds, because that makes a huge difference on your regional. I mean,
the only argument really for Texas Southern going to Baton Rouge is getting that team out of the Houston greater area and giving those student-athletes a different look. Which I like, but it's not like this is Texas Southern's 8th straight trip. Meanwhile, Bethune-Cookman never gets out of the state of Florida to play in a regional. So Bethune-Cookman, that's for tomorrow's podcast, but they got jobbed. Mervin Melendez is a great job, and that program is so consistent. The MEAC was weak.
3 letters, though. It's the RPI.
Yeah, the MEAC is terrible.
I don't think everybody's going to get more than a 4 seed because of the RPI, because of their conference. That aside, let's get back to this,
please.
This Houston regional. You, John, it sounds like you like Texas here.
I think I am leaning toward Texas because this was a team in some serious trouble about a month ago. They were, I don't remember what their record was, but they were right around 500 in the Big 12. They fell out of our top 25 rankings. You started seeing all that buzz on the internet about the coaches pushing players out, telling guys they weren't going to renew their scholarship. You start seeing all this kind of stuff. You start hearing the Augie Garrido rumors. Now, I've done some digging on the Augie Garrido rumors. He ain't going nowhere, number one. Number two, he's shown he can still coach. He has really put this team back together. They challenged the players. The players responded. Kyle Russell got hot. But most importantly, Aaron, they figured out their weekend rotation. They figured out, here's 3 guys who can pitch and get us deep in the games. They figured out their bullpen. I do like Texas. The Big 12 is a deep league. I like Texas making that run to the league tournament. I think Rice might be. It's tough to go all year with a freshman as your 3-hole hitter. And have to rely on a guy like Rick Hague so much, play shortstop, hit 3-hole, be a big run producer for you. I'm not putting it all on him. I'm saying to me, just the pieces add up a little bit more to Texas for me than they do for Rice. I'll admit, I think St. John's offense is a little short. All my information is 2 or 3 really good pitchers. Offense is a little short. They put all their money on the mound, and and they're going to face some real velocity and some more experienced pitchers if they play Rice or Texas or whoever.
Almost sold me on Texas here, and I do like St. John's because I think their pitching is good. I think Scott Barnes is very good, and George Brown is a proven winner as a left-hander up there.
Yep.
We talk about these guys.
Well-coached team. Eddie Blankmeyer is one of the gems in college baseball.
But they're going to be overmatched offensively. I don't really like their offense very much. Tristan Eos can put a charge into one now and then. He had a big hit in the North Beach Regional last year, a walk-off home run in one of those games.
Awesome.
But St. John's probably just is going to be is going to have a hard time, I think, matching up with the firepower they're going to see from Texas. And you know what? I talked to the coach the other day, John, about Texas, who said he saw them midway through the year and he saw them down the stretch, and it was a completely different team. They've gotten it going. They really have. They're dangerous, obviously, with the power in the lineup. But Russ Moldenauer is another guy to keep an eye on. A key guy.
Great point.
Very well. They're good at the top of the lineup. Don't give away outs.
Moldenauer. I guess I don't know if there was an MVP of the Big 12 tournament, but he was huge in a couple of late games in that tournament. And it's that third round pick at high school. So there's all kinds of talent.
Yeah. That said. I think I'm going to go with Rice, and I don't feel terribly confident about it, but, it's Rice, and they're at home, and Ryan Berry and Matt Langwell have certainly been there before, and Cole St. Clair and Joe Kelly. They've got all these pitchers, John, who have pitched on the biggest stage.
Oh, you're right.
And that, to me, is the biggest factor. They've got depth in that pitching staff.
Because I've seen Mike Ogilaw on TV. He's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
He's pretty solid for a fourth guy.
Yeah, and that's a nice luxury. And obviously Brian Price has a big time arm if he can, if he can catch him on the right day, I guess.
It depends.
Both St. Clair's had a good year, kind of under the radar a little bit. I like Bryce's pitching very much, and that's why I also think that they're a solid club offensively. They're not a great club offensively. Not as good as they were last year. Certainly Aaron Lewis can get hot and carry it for games at a time. And
he's the guy, he's kind of been so streaky. He's always streaky, but he's been more off than on this year. I'm shocked that Adam Zorns is their home run leader. I thought that would have been a guy like Seastrunk or a guy like Luna.
Zorns always had raw power, just hasn't really had a chance to play regularly.
Well, Seastrunk's had a great year for them. He's been their steadiest offensive player.
A terrific all-around player.
Yeah, just a little bit. I've talked to people. I don't have Texas for our draft stuff. I'm not the college beat guy. Everyone I've talked to, I've thought of two people about Rice. Thought, a little worn down. But you know what?
They had some time to rest up in that conference USA tournament, John. Maybe that'll help them out. I think Texas is the chic pick here. I think that probably a lot of people are going to be picking Texas. I'm going to take Rice.
I like it. I think you're right. I think Texas is the chic pick. I do love the Wayne Graham versus Augie Garrido. Holy cow. That's just awesome with a capital A. Slam, jam, bam. Next regional, we got three more to finish up. The Baseball America College podcast. Thanks for hanging in with us. Part two tomorrow, but if my voice is still here. Texas A&M regional, the College Station regional. A&M, Dallas Baptist, Houston, Illinois, Chicago. This is a really weird regional, Aaron.
Really weird regional. It's a great word.
A&M is reeling. No other word for that. They're Virginia reeling. They're reeling so badly. Dallas Baptist, I love they got in, but they are not a two seed. I just am not buying them as a two seed.
I've had this debate a little bit with people over the last 2 days since the selection came out. And I can see the case for them as a two seed. You do have to give them credit. It was not easy to do what they did, to be an independent. There's a reason it's been so long since an independent has made the tournament. It's hard. You've got to, scheduling-wise, it's hard. They've got to beat a lot of quality teams. They had to go on the road against San Francisco, make a statement, and they did.
That was awesome.
But San Francisco, to be fair, is a fourth-place team in a two-bid league.
Right.
It's a good series. It's not a great series.
Right.
I think that Dallas Baptist, they played Texas A&M once this year. Granted, things have changed a little bit since then. I like Dallas Baptist's talent. They've got a couple of real power arms, obviously, with
Black and Meeker.
Black and Jordan Meeker.
And Evan Bigley,
a terrific player in center field. It's a good, solid team.
And it's a steady lineup, too. There's not one guy you can go in there and game plan. It's a steady lineup. It's just a steady team, well-coached, good program, yada, yada, yada. I like A&M. They've got to they just got to play better. They just were too good. A team that was that good in the Big 12 can't just fall this flat on its face.
You have to worry a little bit about Brooks Raley here down the stretch.
Right.
The freshman left-hander who had been their Friday guy for much of the year.
He's stumbling, bumbling.
And he's a freshman. I mean, this happens with freshmen all the time.
They need Kirkland Rivers to come up big for them, Aaron.
You know, that would really help.
Just for whatever reason.
Kirkland Rivers, for what it's worth, was hammered by Dallas Baptist, I believe, earlier this year.
You know what?
On that Thursday game.
That's exactly. I've talked to the guys at Dallas Baptist about that. Oh, we handled Rivers. So that's pretty funny.
But the thing is, A&M has still had Barrett Lux, for one thing, as a freshman who was not worn down.
No, he was at his best late last year anyway. His velocity jumped after the draft. So
yeah, and he's a big physical guy who I think is he's just a horse, and I really like him.
Does Houston have a chance here? You think Houston with Wes Musick, the top college draft pitcher in the state of Texas?
Houston's hot, and I think they're easy to overlook here.
We just did it.
We did. They won the Conference USA tournament. I mean, you know, they're again, very well coached. I mean, why don't more people talk about Raynor Campbell, John?
Oh, Raynor Noble? Raynor
Campbell.
No one talks about Raynor Campbell because Baylor's not in the tournament.
There's only two Raynors in the world, and I just got them confused.
You also called Chris Kelly Joe Kelly, the closer at Riverside earlier, but I wasn't going to let it go. But
I'll be out on this stuff, John. Let me put your facts like a Larry Templeton here.
Plus two big ones. That was awesome. I hope you heard the fist pound here on the Baseball America College podcast. This is just more fun than the law should allow. I love it. I love the podcast.
Bottom line, reason I'm taking A&M. So I just think that their offensive talent is much superior to any other team in this regional, and their style of play, you know, they're a great six-run offense. You know, they'll get the 6 runs just by the way they put pressure on you.
Yeah, they're hard to hold down.
They do have power. It's a deep lineup. I mean, offensively, I like A&M, and that's why I think they win this regional at home.
I'm with you. Now let's move on to what we both, I believe, think is the toughest regional in the whole field. The Blair Field Regional, as I like to call it, the Long Beach State Regional. Dirtbags, your 1 seed. Toreros of San Diego, your 2 seed. California, the 3. Fresno State, the 4. What are the guys on the committee smoking to put these 4 teams in the same regional?
Frankly,
USD should have been the 1 and Long Beach the 2. No, first of all,
I think so.
I mean, San Diego played, I mean, they both played great non-conference schedules. But San Diego was good all year. Long Beach State went through about a month where they stunk. And I'll tell
There's
you
no
what.
Way to put it, John. They stunk.
Oh, they stunk. Oh, you stink. Yeah, they stunk. But let's give Mike Weather some credit. First of all, he lost his pitching coach right on the eve of the season. Second of all, his team's going in this funk. I don't know if you read about this. He took the bats away from the whole team. They stopped having BP. They basically limited the whole team to like 2 or 3 bats on the whole club because they were complaining about the bats. He said, stop it. Worry about your swing. Worry about you. Not it's the warrior, not the weapon. To use a quote from Taggart Bozide, circa 2001.
Wow.
But it's the warrior, not the weapon. And the dirtbags stopped letting themselves find excuses and figured out a way to get it down the field. This is a streaking team. This is a team with better power than they usually have. It's a team with a big-time hitter in Shane Peterson. This is a good defensive team. This is a deep pitching staff. They've got Vance Worley on track finally. They've got Andrew Liebel. They've got a bullpen with Brian Shaw at the back of it. I like the dirtbags. But USD is ridiculously good. USD's playing very well. Fresno State, honestly, they're a 4 seed. Without Tanner Jeppers, they're a 4 seed. They weren't even that great with him. They're an experienced team. I know they beat USD last year. I don't think they can win a regional. To me, the real X factor here is Cal.
Yeah.
I can't believe Cal's a 3 seed, but then the way they've been treated by the committee the last couple years, I guess I should have known it was coming.
I'm not surprised they're a 3 seed. I think the eve of the projections, I think I had them as a 3 seed.
I think you did.
I don't think that's fair. I think they should be a 2 seed. It's a really good conference, and they've got a lot of quality series wins. We know they're dangerous. Getting back to your first point, John, so much to talk about this regional.
Yeah.
We could probably talk a half hour about this regional. But,
we could.
San Diego and Long Beach State played a 5-1 series.
That's right. Oh, yeah, you were on it. Awesome.
And San Diego's coaches told me afterwards, that team's really, really good. That's one of the best teams I've ever seen.
It was basically like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
We don't want to see those guys.
Because they said, I mean, they're just so well coached. They execute so well. I mean, you know, all that stuff that you expect from Long Beach, they're so tough. They've got a lot of good arms. I mean, certainly, you know, Andrew Liebel, I think, I don't know if he was pitcher of the year or not in that conference. I think he will be named that if it hasn't come out yet. Barry, I mean, he's so good.
How about this Andrew Liebel Player of the Year page on the Long Beach State website? Neil Adler, that's a little stretch, a little reach. That's all right, though. I like the effort.
He's, he's good.
He is really
he's
good.
A four-pitch guy with, he draws Ian Kennedy comparison.
Yeah.
That's pretty high praise.
Yeah, he does.
I think Long Beach is really good. And if it weren't for USD in this regional, I think Long Beach was a team that I thought was capable of getting to Omaha in the preseason. I still think it's capable of getting to Omaha.
I agree.
San Diego, though, right now is peaking. In Long Beach, to be fair, they won a series against Florida. But San Diego, their coaches feel very confident right now about the way they're playing. They're clicking on all cylinders. I mean, Brian Mattis is, of course, the big X factor.
He's the best pitcher in college baseball, if you ask me.
He is.
Steven Strasburg's not playing anymore, A, and he finished poorly, B. So, lost his last two starts.
What a matchup with Tyson Ross and Brian Mattis.
That's going to be Scouting Director Central on when that game is played. Here's the thing for me. I think Cal is the worst team for USD to play in the first game. Cal can hit velocity.
Yeah.
Josh Satin and David Cooper have seen it all. They've hit them all. They've seen a million pitchers, and they've rocked them all.
David Cooper went opposite field on Aaron Crow the weekend I was out there this year. And it was, you're right. They can hit. That's a great point, John.
So that's the problem. I don't think Cal has enough pitching to win a regional. Long Beach State has to hope that Cal wins that first game, puts San Diego in the loser's bracket. I still think that, and I actually think that'll happen, and San Diego will still win. I just think Long Beach State's offense, outside of Peterson, will not be able to handle premium velocity. They've had prolonged offensive funks this year. Jason Corder, I know he's got a lot of home runs, is still more like slider bat speed at Long Beach State. David Espinoza is a big game player, comes up with big hits. I just don't think he does it against guys like Josh Romanski or Kyle Blair. Danny Espinoza, thank you very much. Touche. I'm picking San Diego to come out of the loser's bracket with their pitching depth, bring it to bear in this regional, and win the Long Beach State regional.
I hate agreeing with you so much. I really do. but I also like the Toreros here. And boy, I'll tell you.
I like Toreros, but I like the Toreros as well.
It's
Mexican food reference there.
Yeah. I think Cal's really good. I do. I think any of those three teams, and even Fresno, I wouldn't be completely shocked if Fresno made a run here, because even without Tanner Shepherd, they've got Justin Wilson and Justin Miller and Clayton Allison. Those are good arms. I mean, experienced lineup. I like all four of these teams. I'll take the Toreros.
Yeah, there's just no easy team in that regional. And enough respect finally for Cal. I'm glad they got in. Kudos to David Esker. That program kept plugging away. Good for some of their seniors like Josh Satin and Alex Rowland and those guys who've been there and who've been snubbed and now get there. And, I'm just glad that Cal got in. Still can't believe the Pac-10 didn't get a sixth team. How the 8th-place team in the Big 12 gets in, but the 6th-place team in the Pac-10 can't get in. Is beyond me, and the committee needs to check itself before it wrecks the sport. That's ridiculous.
Especially when the last place team in the Pac-10 went to Oklahoma and took 3 out of 4.
The Pac-10 just constantly gets jobbed in every sport, in college, and the NCAA. I just don't get it. I don't get how the Pac-10 stands for this, but they take it and they say, yes, sir, may I have another? I mean, if I were a Pac-10 athletic director, I would want a new commissioner of the Pac-10 who would advocate for my league and keep it from getting crapped on all the time. I mean, I just don't get it. But anyway, we got to wrap up. Speaking of the Pac-10, your champion of the Pac-10, Arizona State, hosted the last regional we're talking about today. It's the Tim Corbin's daughter regional, because Tim Corbin coaches Vanderbilt. His daughter works for Pat Murphy at Arizona State this year. So we're calling it the Tim Corbin's daughter regional, with Arizona State the 1, Vanderbilt the 2, the aforementioned Sooners 3, and Stony Brook 4. Aaron, watch Oklahoma go out here. Us against the world, which Sonny Galloway is very good at, and Oklahoma as a genre is very good at, and goes up there and wins the doggone thing. Chances of that are no.
John, I'm not wasting another word on Oklahoma.
Good point.
In this podcast,
I think this is an easy regional for Arizona State, to be completely honest with you. They've already seen Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, I know they have pitching. They just have underachieved all year. I just don't think there's any way Vanderbilt beats Arizona State at their own game in their ballpark. I think the Sun Devils roll.
No. It makes so much sense on paper, and
you're going to go off the reservation, aren't you?
Let me talk myself through this.
Okay,
and we'll see where I end up. All right, Vanderbilt. First of all, I really like their experience, and they're not going to. I don't think they're going to be rattled in that environment. They've been out to Tempe before. They've been in regionals before. They've got all those seniors.
Yeah.
Seniors play up big in the NCAA tournament.
I completely agree.
These are quality seniors. These are Dominic Gavosa and Alex Feinberg and David Macias. I mean, these are guys who really are good players.
And, hey, frankly, there are no seniors to be had at Arizona State. Tommy Raffery's a fifth-year senior, a D2 transfer. It's not a senior lady.
Arizona State has five new starters this year. We've been saying all year long. It's not the same team as last year. They played great this year, but a lot of those guys haven't played in a regional before.
You're right.
And you know, the last time Vanderbilt was out that way, John, they didn't have a guy named Pedro Alvarez.
Correct.
For most of the weekend.
Coming off a bad SEC tournament, by the way.
Yeah.
He's scuffled.
Yeah. But he's Pedro Alvarez.
He is.
And you know what? Vanderbilt's pitching took some time to settle this year, and you would expect it to, because they've got some pretty, you know, big time arms to replace. David
Price,
Casey Weathers,
couple of first eight picks in the draft.
So you know, it took some time to break
keep
in.
Going.
Caleb Cockrum is got a good arm. He's you know, I mean, he's settled in very nicely for them. If I'm Vanderbilt, I'd probably throw him in that first game against Oklahoma, because I want my left hander Mike Minor to face those left handed bats that Arizona State's
going
to throw at you. I think
going.
Corbin is smart enough to do that and gutsy enough to do that.
You're swaying me.
John, Vanderbilt is going to go in there and they're going to shock the world, and they're going to win that regional.
That's awesome that you picked that. That is so awesome. I love it. You gave good reasons for it, too. And if you're going to beat Arizona State, you're going to beat them now because their pitching's supposed to be worn down. This is why we had them not in the preseason, right or wrong. That's why we did it. And they've had Ike Davis beat up with a ribcage injury. Can he pitch? Can he close for them?
He supposedly is back now. I talked to him.
But can he do it, though?
Yeah, that's the question.
Can Reyes Dorado have his early season form when he was 94 with a dirty slider?
Who had that nasty ankle sprain that kind of derailed him.
And he wore out, too. I mean, he just wasn't as good. How about Steven Sauer? Steven Sauer was fantastic early. Lost some life on his stuff.
Another guy who you know, had some injury issues. The bullpen was hit hard by injuries. Rafferty was really the only consistent guy from start to finish back there. But those guys supposedly are getting healthier. Dorado not 100% yet.
Sauer has some postseason experience in the NJCAA World Series last year with Cole Rohrbaugh in Western Nevada. I love my Western Nevada Jokers.
Great reference.
I love my Western Nevada Jokers.
I do think Arizona State is actually not in bad shape on the mound because you know, Seth Blair's begun to pitch better on the stretch. He started touching 94 again, as I understand it. The last
Mike Leake
weeks.
Is Mike Leake.
Mike Leake is Mike Leake, and Josh Sautau is a winner. I love Josh Sautau.
He's had a bad year.
He's had a bad year, but he's a big game pitcher. So, I mean, you know, Arizona State, I'm not bagging on their pitching. I'm not. I have a lot this year.
You're really just on Vanderbilt.
I believe in Vanderbilt.
And Aaron Fidd believes in Vanderbilt, and that's a great way to wrap the podcast.
Should we make our picks on the
We can do that if you want to. But we can do that, but I mean, it's all speculation because next week we're going to pick them again.
Just for fun, let's do it.
For grits and jiggles, I would say I would take North Carolina over my Omaha sleeper, Coastal Carolina.
I also would take North Carolina over Coastal.
I'll be taking LSU over Oral Roberts. But you have Irvine and New Orleans, and I'm guessing you're putting the Eaters.
I am going to take the Anteaters. I think probably that super regional would end up out west, and I don't like New Orleans going out west with their style offense. It's just not a good matchup.
I got to tell you, nothing will make me happier than to get to Omaha and find Mike Gillespie there.
Oh, sure.
That would be so awesome.
Prince.
It's not even funny. I love Coach Gillespie. I love Coach Gillespie. I just don't have the voice for it. My super regional would be Texas A&M. Wow, that would be good. You would have Rice, Texas A&M. I'm on the Augie train right now. I'm hearing a lot of Augie believers.
I'll take Wayne Graham and the Owls back to Omaha again.
Third straight year would be for the Owls. Then we both went San Diago, correct?
No, I took San Diego and Vanderbilt, but I'm going with Vanderbilt all the way to Omaha.
1 year delayed. I'm taking San Diego. Talking about another team that was better in 07 than they are in 06, in 08. I think San Diego's going to take care of unfinished business and beat Arizona State on the road. Arizona native Brian Mattis, Josh Romanski. You want left-handers to take on Arizona State's lineup? I would take the Toreros. So
that's, you know, I think if it gets to that point, I think San Diego has a pretty good chance against Arizona State. Although
put the podcast on the bulletin board in Tempe. Neither of us pick Arizona State to go to Omaha.
How about that?
Indeed, they've been the best team really from start to finish this year. I mean, they stumbled a little bit late, but I think a lot of that was injury induced. But to me, honestly, they're a lot like North Carolina. They have no real weaknesses. Obviously, a better offense, but I think part of that's their ballpark. Deep pitching, they don't have an Alex White. But they do have some depth in the pitching staff, but they have, in my mind, an Achilles heel at shortstop. They don't have a. They're not as good defensively as they need to be at second base and shortstop. I mean, their best shortstop is Mike Leake.
We see it all the time in the postseason. Teams that are good defensively, and especially up the middle, the teams that win. And I think, Joe, there's a stat that the last 4 years, the team that has won the College World Series has ranked in the top 20 in fielding percentage every year. That's something to keep an eye on.
It is, and
Arizona State was so good defensively last year, leading the nation in fielding percentage.
Marcel Champagnier and Bordas, you guys are no Andrew Roman. That's a big
underrated factor here that people forget about how good Andrew Roman and Eric Sogard were up the middle last year.
They were outstanding, and that's a big reason why you picked Arizona State to win it all last year when we went to Omaha. Of course, I picked North Carolina. We were 0-2. Oregon State, we will have a new champion this year. Oregon State, not even in the field. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. We'll be back with more tomorrow, my voice permitting. We'll hear a lot more of Aaron tomorrow. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. For Aaron Fitt, I'm John Manuel. See you tomorrow on the Baseball America podcast. So long, everybody.